WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. America's poet laureate Robert Pinsky wants to know what poems we love and why we love them. He's initiated what he calls the Favorite Poem Project. The idea is to create an audio and video archive of Americans from all walks of life reading aloud their favorite poems. The kickoff event was held at New York's Town Hall last Wednesday, the first day of this National Poetry Month. The featured readers ranged from celebrities to students. We're going to play back excerpts of this event. The first people we'll hear reading their favorite poems are Ed Bradley of CBS News 60 Minutes, Luis Rodriguez, a New York City high school sophomore, and Dr. Calvin O. Butts III, pastor of the Abyssinian Baptist Church. Here's Ed Bradley.
I chose a poem by Nikki Finney that is called Uncles because of the uncles I've had in my life. I grew up in what's called today a single-parent home, with a mother who gave me everything I needed except that which she couldn't, which was the presence of my father. But there were always male examples in and around our house, uncles who were related by blood, and uncles who were part of an extended family and not related at all, except by love and emotion. I remembered my Uncle Bill, my mother's brother, who showed me what education and hard work could accomplish. And I remembered my Uncle Louis, who was of no blood relation to me, but was a friend of the family, who was always there for me, who taught me about right and wrong, who taught me how to play ball, who taught me how to drive a car, and who also showed me how to have some fun in my life. Uncles, Nikki Finney. Mahogany men with massive hands and broad mustaches who outlived wars and married feisty, oak-imaged women, be tight with money, tender of heart, and close to me. A gallery of fathers, each of whom planted me in the well-kept gardens of their youth, moisten the soil with vintage tobacco juice, and ask only that I listen and grow to the rhythms therein. Men of mahogany and oak blossoms who relaxed late in life and understood that leaning was because of trust, not weakness. Men who, though not supposed to, protected, shielded their oaks because, as they taught me, love is never what it's supposed to be.
What I'm about to read is more like a short story written by Grace Paley. And it's entitled Mother. And recently, about a year and a half ago or 2 years, a very close friend of mine lost his mother to meningitis. And before that, lost his father to AIDS. But his mother's death hit him a lot stronger. And so I only think it's fair that I read this story on behalf of him, since there's a part in the story that says, "Oh, how I long to see my mother standing in the doorway." And I know that many times my friend feels the same way, so. One day I was listening to the AM radio. I heard a song, "Oh, how I long to see my mother in the doorway." "By God," I said, "I understand that song. I have often longed to see my mother in the doorway." As a matter of fact, she did stand frequently in various doorways looking at me. She stood one day, just so, at the front door, the darkness of the hallway behind her. It was New Year's Day. She said sadly, "If you come home at 4 a.m. when you're 17, what time will you come home when you're 20? And she asked this question without humor or meanness. And she had begun her worried preparations for death. She would not be present, she thought, when I was 20. So she wondered. Another time, she stood in the doorway of my room. I had just issued a political manifesto attacking the family's position on the Soviet Union. She said, Go to sleep, for God's sake, you damn fool, you and your communist ideas. We saw them already, Papa and me, in 1905. We guessed it all. At the door of the kitchen, she said, "You never finish your lunch. You run around senselessly. What will become of you?" And then she died. Naturally, for the rest of my life, I longed to see her, not only in doorways, in a great number of places. In the dining room with my aunts, at the window looking up and down the block, in the country garden among zinnias and marigolds, in the living room with my father. They sat in comfortable leather chairs, and they were listening to Mozart. They looked at one another amazed. It seemed to them that they'd just come over on the boat. They'd just learned the first English words. It seemed to them that he had just proudly handed in a 100% correct exam to the American anatomy professor. And it seemed as though she'd just quit the shop for the kitchen. I wish I could see her in the doorway of the living room. She stood there a minute. Then she sat beside him. They owned an expensive record player. They were listening to Bach. She said to him, "Talk to me a little. We don't talk so much anymore." "I'm tired," he said. "Can't you see? I saw maybe 30 people today, all sick, all talk, 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 talk." "Listen to the music," he said. "I believe you once had perfect pitch." "I'm tired," he said. And then she died. Thank you.
This is a favorite poem. This is the first poem that I ever heard. My parents, both living, just celebrated 50 years of marriage. They had only one child. And he had the pleasure of hearing them read poetry to him, even before I imagine he was able to speak. I like this poem because I wish that many more parents would read poetry to their children. It made a big difference for me. It's made a big difference for my children. I think it would make a huge difference for the children, not only of America, but especially New York City. This is "Little Brown Baby" by Paul Laurence Dunbar. Little brown baby with sparkling eyes, come to your pappy and set on his knee. "What you been doing, sir, making sand pies? Look at that bib, you's dirty as me. Look at that mouth, that's molasses, I bet. Come here, Maria, and wipe off his hands. Bees gwine catch up to you and eat you up yet, being so sticky and sweet, goodness lands. Little brown baby with sparkling eyes, who's pappy's darling and who's pappy's child? Who is it all the day never once tries for to be cross ere once loses that smile? Where'd you get them teeth? My, you's a scamp. Where'd that dimple come from in your chin? Pappy don't know you. I believe you's a tramp. Mammy, this hair's some old straggler got in. Let's throw him out the door in the sand. We don't want no stragglers lying around here. Let's get him way to the boogeyman. I know he's hiding around here right now. Boogeyman, boogeyman, come in the door. Here's a bad boy you can have for to eat. Mammy and Pappy, we don't want him no more. Swallow him down from his head to his feet. Dad, now, I thought that you'd hug me close. Go back, old booger. You shan't have this boy. He ain't no tramp, nor no stranger, of course. He's Pappy's partner and playmate in joy. Come to your pallet now. Go to your rest. Wish you could always know ease in clear skies. Wish you'd always stay just a child on my breast. Little brown baby with sparkling eyes.
We're listening to excerpts of the kickoff event of the Favorite Poem Project held last week at New York's Town Hall. We'll hear more after a break. This is Fresh Air. We're bringing you excerpts of the first event in the Favorite Poem Project, launched by America's Poet Laureate Robert Pinsky, recorded last week at New York's Town Hall. The next people we'll hear reading their favorite poems are Don Chiappetta, a former literacy student who's now a national spokesperson for Literacy Volunteers of America, singer-songwriter Suzanne Vega, and writer Garrison Keillor, host of Public Radio's A Prairie Home Companion. Here they are.
Good evening. My name is Don Chiappetta, and I'm an adult learner, and I learned how to read when I was 40 years old. I thank you for this wonderful opportunity. But sitting here tonight, listening to some of these young people read their poetry, I finally realized what a void there was in my life. Never able to read any type of poetry, and just sitting here tonight, listening to some of these people who read such beautiful and heartwarming poetry, made me feel real good. The poetry that I'm going to read this evening is a very short one. It means very much to me. I've always set goals for myself, and I was able to accomplish those goals. Follow your dreams. Take one step at a time. Don't settle for less. Just continue to climb. Follow your dreams. If you stumble, don't stop. Don't lose sight of your goals. Press on to the top. For only on top can you see the whole view. Can you see what you've done and what you can do? Can you then have the vision to seek something new? Press on and follow your dreams. Thank you.
So these poems that I wanted to read are by T.S. Eliot. It's called Preludes, and it's about those small moments. To me, these poems are really, even though it doesn't say that they're about New York City, it feels to me like New York City. And the reason these poems have stayed with me all these years is because they remind me of certain points in my life when I was a receptionist and I used to come off work at 5 o'clock. And walk to the subway. There's certain moments in the city that these poems remind me of. And that's why I really love them. Preludes 1. The winter evening settles down with smell of steaks in passageways. 6 o'clock. The burnt out ends of smoky days. And now a gusty shower wraps the grimy scraps of withered leaves about your feet. And newspapers from vacant lots, the showers beat on broken blinds and chimney pots, and at the corner of the street, a lonely cab horse steams and stamps, and then the lighting of the lamps. 2. The morning comes to consciousness of faint, stale smells of beer from the sawdust trampled street with all its muddy feet that press to early coffee stands. With the other masquerades that time resumes, one thinks of all the hands that are raising dingy shades in 1,000 furnished rooms. 3. You tossed a blanket from the bed. You lay upon your back and waited. You dozed and watched the night revealing the 1,000 sordid images of which your soul was constituted. They flickered against the ceiling. And when all the world came back and the light crept up between the shutters and you heard the sparrows in the gutters, you had such a vision of the street as the street hardly understands, sitting along the bed's edge where you curled the papers from your hair or clasped the yellow soles of feet in the palms of both soiled hands. 4. His soles stretched tight across the skies that fade behind a city block or trampled by insistent feet at 4 and 5 and 6 o'clock, and short square fingers stuffing pipes and evening newspapers and eyes assured of certain certainties, the conscience of a blackened street, impatient to assume the world. I am moved by fancies that are curled around these images and cling the notion of some infinitely gentle, infinitely suffering thing. Wipe your hand across your mouth and laugh. The worlds revolve like ancient women, gathering fuel in vacant lots. Thank you.
I've chosen a poem by James Wright, who was my teacher at the University of Minnesota, a poem that I've seen often in print, that I saw once crocheted on a pillowcase for sale in a craft shop in Red Wing, Minnesota, that I heard recited at a wedding in Minnesota by the bride to the groom, a wedding that was held in a pasture at which horses were present. That I saw at the Minnesota State Fair in the crop art competition. It was written in rye seeds that were glued to a piece of plywood against a background of flax seeds. And I've seen it most recently written out on a bronze tablet that, at the instigation of teachers and librarians in southern Minnesota, has been erected at a wayside rest by the Minnesota State Highway Department. So it's a poem that has had many lives and that seems to have a chance to survive, at least in southern Minnesota. It's a poem entitled, A Blessing. Just off the highway to Rochester, Minnesota, twilight bounds softly forth in the grass, and the eyes of those two Indian ponies darken with kindness. They have come gladly out of the willows to welcome my friend and me. We step over the barbed wire into the pasture where they have been grazing all day alone. They ripple tensely. They can hardly contain their happiness that we have come. They bow shyly as wet swans. They love each other. There is no loneliness like theirs. At home once more, they begin munching the young tufts of spring in the darkness. I would like to hold the slenderer one in my arms, for she has walked over to me and nuzzled my left hand. She is black and white. Her mane falls wild on her forehead. And the breeze moves me to caress her long ear that is delicate as the skin over a girl's wrist. Suddenly I realize that if I stepped out of my body, I would break into blossom.
Thank Garrison Keillor. We've been listening to excerpts of the first event in the Favorite Poem Project, organized by U.S. Poet Laureate Robert Pinsky. The event was held April 1st at New York's Town Hall, where it was presented by Pinsky, the Academy of American Poets, the American Poetry and Literacy Project, and Teachers and Writers Collaborative. Our thanks to them all for letting us broadcast the readings. The recording was produced for Fresh Air by Naomi Person.